Have you ever gotten an email or text message from somebody that you needed to respond to? It was actually important that you respond to it. Most text messages, most emails, you don't really need to. But every once in a while, there's that message that you need to respond to. I got one of those ones. And it required a response, and it required a lengthy response that was detailed and intentional. And I spent quite a long time writing the response to this email. Got it all typed out. I even reread it a couple times. You know those emails that you actually reread to make sure you're saying what you want? Sometimes you don't, and you say silly things that you don't mean to say. Well, this time I reread it to make sure that I was saying what I wanted to say. I had it all worded just the way that it should be, and I let it go. About a week later, the person said to me, "I really need a response from you on that email I sent." And I said, "What email are you talking about?" They said, "The one that I sent to you last week that you said you'd get right to." I said, "I did get right to it. You send me another one?" "No, I didn't send you another one." "Well, I sent it. Except I didn't. I wrote it. I thought about it. I did everything that I needed to do. In my head, it had happened. But when it came time to reality, it was sitting in my draft box. I apparently didn't send it." That happens to us in life. It happens in emails and in things like that. But too frequently in life, we see what we should do. Have to write an email. We intend to do it. We might even type it out, knowing all of the things that need to happen to it. But when it comes time to enact it, to hit the send button, we don't. We know what God tells us. We know what our lives should be like. We even see the path on how to get there. We may intend to follow the path to get there, but when it comes right down to it, we don't. We don't. As we prepare our hearts and our lives for a new year, 2019, we're given not fresh starts. We say that it's a new year, it's a fresh start. It's not a fresh start. It's just a continuation of last year, marked out differently. But we have a year here where we have an opportunity to make decisions, new decisions, or enact old decisions. My prayer for you, the elders' prayer for us, has been that we would actually live that out. For the last months, as elders, we've talked about where is God leading us? Not sort of in general. We know where he's leading us in general. To become like Christ and share him with the people around us. That's all there is. But when it comes down to the specifics, how? How has God positioned this body of people in this town at this time to do that? And that is where, as a church, we've failed to hit the send button. We know what we should do. We may see a path on how to do it. But we don't actually do it. As elders, our focus for the last 6 months, 5 months, has been outreach. We have spent 5 years of my time here seeking to intentionally grow deeper as individuals. That's why we have our discipleship stuff. So that you and I, or you and somebody else, or myself and somebody else, can grow deeper in the scriptures and in knowing Christ together. Not so that we may know more information, because we don't need more information by and large. So that we would know Christ, experience who he is, and become like him. That's the sort of depth and growth that we're talking about. The kind of depth and growth that is, I know realities, and now I want to become like that reality. And it's worked very, very well, except for one place. And there's been one place that we've called ourselves deficient. Maybe I've called us deficient. Other people didn't like the word necessarily. We do not share Jesus with the world around us enough. True, you can't ever share Jesus with the world around you enough. But by and large, most of us, and this is a general statement meant to be generally true to a general audience. If it's not true of you, great. But by and large, most of us are not actively looking for people with whom we can share the reality of Jesus. Why? I don't know. We know that we should. We even know a path on how to do it. But it's a different thing when we say to ourselves, now I'm going to share the name of Jesus with my neighbor. Because I might have to tell them or make them think or help them realize that maybe their version of knowing Jesus wasn't right. That's not some sort of denigrating statement about people or other churches, but it is a true statement wherein most people in our town, in this culture, in this community, do not know Jesus on a I've chosen to trust him and only him for salvation level. We are Americans. More than that, we're Midwesterners. You get what you work for. If you don't have enough, work longer, work harder. Right? That's what we teach. There's good to that. But when it comes to salvation, there's not. You can't work for it, though once you get it, you should work with it. You can't earn it, though once you have it, you should grow into it. It says in 1 Peter, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning with the high schoolers. You cannot earn it. But it needs to be shared. That's where we stand at the beginning of this year. Wondering, how do we as a body hit that button, send that email, act out that reality? Because if we don't, we are wasting lives. We rightly state that abortion is wrong. Because it is. Because it's the killing of a life that God has made. But we wrongly forget that that life once born needs the gospel. And without the gospel, it still dies and spends eternity separated from God. We get it right here. Why? Because it can sort of stay at issue length. This is an issue we're dealing with. But when you have to talk to your friend about knowing Jesus as a person and a reality and trusting him in a way that maybe they've not done before, then it becomes different. A little bit uncomfortable. And we get hot and sweaty. And we don't want to say anything. Because it's scary. Because maybe they won't agree. Because maybe they'll think we're foolish. And then some of us have God in Christ work in our lives. And we're afraid to share that. Which is part of why we're doing this small group with a banquet at the end to share that. To not keep it quiet, but to celebrate what God has done in our lives over the past weeks. We need to move ourselves and ask God to move us past the knowing stage, past the choosing to want to act and have good intention stage, and actually get to the acting stage. Not acting as in fake acting, acting as an acting out reality stage. So, we are where we've always been. Every first Sunday of January since I've been here. Romans chapter 12. Dealing with a reality of life that should be a reality all the time for us, but too often is not. This passage cannot be overstated. The truth and reality of this passage cannot be too deeply understood. I've been asked by other pastors, you really go through the same passage every year? Yeah, we do, and we will continue to. Why? Because this should transform us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's step back for a moment. Look at the passage. See what it says in general, and then look at how it talks about us making decisions and actually following through on action. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ. I've spent quite a bit of time with the high school students and the junior high students, but particularly the high school students, in the last 12 months. And we have talked a lot about conjunctions. In fact, this morning we were making observations about 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and I told them that I would only accept one thing as the very first observation that they could make. And it was that the whole thing started with the conjunction, so. So, put away all of these things. The so is intended to be put there so that we would recognize that the stuff said before this came to the conclusion of what comes after this, which is just like the word therefore that's here. I appeal to you, therefore, because of what I've already said for 11 chapters, I appeal to you to enact it this way. So what was said in the chapters preceding this? It's deep and it's difficult, yet it's simple and easy to understand. You, being me, are a terrible person, desperately in need of a Savior. Broken to the core of who you are, in every facet of your life, ruined. Waiting for the only end that you could get, which is death and separation from God forever. But God decided to intervene. And he chose to save us. And he gave us the opportunity to put our faith in Jesus. That is all you can do. You can do nothing more. You can trust that he will do and be what he says he will do and who he says that he is. And when you do that, then your right payment for sin is taken away and placed on him, and he has already paid it. So now nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing. Not yourself. Not anything else. Why? Because nothing and nobody, including you, are stronger than Jesus. But make no mistake, he moves on in chapter 9. You didn't choose God. He chose you. So why didn't he choose everybody? I don't know, Paul says. But that's not the point. The point is that you are a wretched person in need of a Savior, and he did it for you. Therefore, by the mercy of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Because of what he's done. Respond in the only way that could make sense, by offering your body as a sacrifice to him. Now, we've talked about that. We've talked about it in a lot of different ways. We've looked at it particularly in verse 2 of not being conformed to the world, but by being changed, by our minds being renewed. We've looked at it on a spiritual, ethereal sort of sense, ethereal being without a body, this sort of abstract idea of offering yourself, your intentions, your energies, your purposes to Christ, to be used by him. All of those things are right. Now we look at the physical. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Each one of you, plural, offer your body. You've got one. It's yours for eternity. It's glorious. It's amazing. God made you exactly how he wanted you to be made. Now offer it to him. Not just in the passions that you have. Not just in the spiritual sense of who you are. Not just in the mental sense of who you are. Not just in the emotional sense of who you are. Though in all of those things. Offer also your body. The physical reality of who you are. To Jesus. Because that, friends, is the only rational thing you can do for the one who saved you for eternity. You cannot be thankful for his salvation and then not care about following him in all ways. But let's look at it even deeper. Let's take it as a wider perspective. We are the body of Christ, right? Right, we are. Offer not only yourself as an individual person as a sacrifice to Jesus, but offer this, your body of Christ, to him. You ever thought about that? We are supposed to enact the reality of offering everything that we have, everything that we are, all of our abilities, all of our persons, all of our thoughts, all of our energies, all of our money, all of our building, all of our time, all of our everything, including all of our individualness, to Jesus as a sacrifice to him. What rights does a sacrifice have once sacrificed? Absolutely none. What left does a sacrifice have once sacrificed? Nothing. We are to offer us as individuals. We are to offer us as a body to Jesus and to nothing else. To withhold not one penny of what we have. To withhold not one inch of what we've got. To withhold not one moment of our time. One bit of our energy, all of it given to Jesus. Why? Because he saved us from sure damnation. From guaranteed hell, guaranteed death, he gave us life. Now offer everything back to him. Don't just think about it in the sense of making a decision or doing something. Don't just think about it. Don't just write the email about it. Act it out. Send the email. This is a year where we're called to do this. We must do this. We've been called to it every year. I'm not entirely sure where the elders are going to totally come down on what does this vision look like. How do we act it out in this community? We have some ideas, and we're working toward it. We think we know where God is leading us, perhaps, but let me tell you, it's scary. It's scary to stand before God and say, God, we will go wherever you want. We'll do whatever you want. God sort of seems to chuckle and say, you have no idea how messy this is. You have no idea how hard this is going to be. You have no idea what this is going to cost from you. But the reality is, it cannot cost us more than what he's given us. It can't cost us more than it cost him to save us. And so we offer it to him, asking him to guide us on however he would like us to be. Whatever avenue, whatever flavor of acting out his gospel to the world around us, he calls us to take, we want to take. We want to act it out. We don't just want to plan it. We just want to think about it. We want to make it actually happen. We want to follow him in that way. Whether that means building a building or doing something new in ministry, we don't know. Maybe both. Maybe asking that we give in different ways, in different times. We don't know. But we want to follow Christ wherever he calls us. Because he is worth it. Because what he has done for us is 100% worth whatever it would cost us to follow him. So, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, your individual and your collective bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your only spiritual or only rational sense of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. It will want to mold you. It will want to shape you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by God, by the renewing of your mind, by him enacting in you, so that you may discern or know what is the will of God and follow that which is good and pleasing and perfect. But we must stop just thinking about it. As a final word, your age doesn't matter. Whether you're 3 years old and follow Jesus or 183 years old and follow Jesus, he has put you where you are so that you can be a light for his gospel in that moment, in that place. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't forget about you. He's got you where you are on purpose to share him with the people you're around, from the littlest to the biggest. Let's act that out. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your son. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you, to follow you, to be like you. God, we ask that you would be honored in our hearts and in our lives. We ask that you would be glorified in what we say, in how we say it and who we say it to, what we do and how we do it. God, we know that each one of us fails. We may have been saved, we may be followers of you, but we still fail. So we ask that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, that we may follow you more. Engage with us, Lord, as individuals. Engage with us collectively as a group. We love you. We come before you, Father, in the amazing, awesome, and holy name of your Son, whom we need desperately. Amen.